The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve?
Uh-huh.
Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length, where we discuss all things E-Mini, along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today's Thursday, 5th day of April 2012. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow's flat. The S&P is flat. The NASDAQ is actually up about 13. Gold is up $15. Crude is up $1.17. And those are the numbers. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Dwayne.
Alrighty. You know, Michael, sometimes I get questions, and people say things like, Dwayne Reeves, could I use that CFMA1 indicator to trade a 5-minute chart? And I say, well, yes, you could. Here's an example right here.
That would be very nice to look at an example if you're trading that on a 5-minute chart using just that.
On a 5-minute chart. If somebody wanted to just take a gander at it. Now, this is a little different than a volume chart. It's a little different than a tick chart. This is a 5-minute chart. You get a pullback here to the MA1, but you know what? You need to see something. And could you just sell the pullback? Well, if you did, you were selling it at 1308 and it dropped down to 13.05 and a quarter. So there's 2 3/4 points in that. And then price got on the backside of the MA1, and it pulled back to the MA1, I guess right there. That would be it.
Yes.
And so you could be getting long right there, or you could wait for it to, you know, show you that it's actually headed back in that direction. Whether it was here, 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 any of this, I mean, your drawdown was never more than a point, it looks like. And it moved all the way up to 1397. Here, price gets on the backside of the MA1. Now, is this tradable in here? Well, it is. But it involves more than I can cover in this radio broadcast. Price gets down. It pulls back. Now, here's a good example. If you just sold that pullback right there at 94.75, then you had a drawdown. Well, it's only 1 point. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, if you waited to this point, at least you got the market looking like it's going to go in your direction. You could even do something like sell the market on a stop below the low of this doji here. I mean, after the doji came in, you could have just sold the open of this candle. There's any number of different things. But what I'm really trying to say is that the CFMA1, the backbone of the CFRN indicator set, really works well across all time frames. Now, I said time frames. Hourly, 15 minutes, 5 minute, 1 minute. It's going to have different characteristics in different markets and different time frames. But it is a very usable tool to help you be on the right side of the market. It works equally well on volume charts, whether it's a 500 contract chart, or 10,000 contract chart, or a 1,500 contract chart. If you want to use it on a tick chart, again, you'll find it very usable. And if you've not used it, that's because you've not taken our free trial. So you should take the free trial by going to cfrn.net/apply. So that you can put these tools to work for you. Now, this is only one of the tools, okay? But with just this one tool, would you have been able to take advantage of this long trade? Yes, you would. Would you have been able to take advantage of this short trade? Yes, you would. Would you have been able to take advantage of this long trade? Yeah, it would have been a little tricky because of the fact that you didn't get any kind of a pullback till here. But again, as I said, once price is on the back side, you don't necessarily have to wait for the pullback. Okay? And those are things that we talk about in partners meetings and the live trading room, which reminds me, tonight there is a partners meeting, 9 p.m. Eastern. So all the partners, we hope to see you there. If you've been on a free trial the past week and your free trial is expiring, and you want to be a partner, you want to be in the meeting tonight, you want to make sure you have the platform and the indicators and all of that over the long weekend to work with, get accustomed to, then you need to send an email to support@cfrn.net. You should have received an email from Michael already. If you did not, by all means, send an email, support@cfrn.net. There's enough hours left in the day. We can still get you into that partners meeting tonight and make sure that you have the platform and the indicators, the data, everything you need before we head into this long weekend. Over here, you can see that this pullback here, I'll just use these little lines. pullback was 91.50. The drawdown was 93, so there was a point and a half of drawdown there. And then price dropped from 91.50 down to 84. So that's, I don't know, about a 7-point drop. Would you have taken it all? I don't know, would you? Maybe you didn't want to, you know, maybe you didn't want to deal with a pullback. Maybe you wanted some confirmation. So maybe you only got in here. After you had a down close back below the red MA1. Fair enough. 1389.75 down to 1384. That's a 5-point move. At 4 a.m. Chicago time. So if you can't sleep, there's almost always something going on somewhere. Now, I have been working this week to bring... I started a task. I don't know why I do that, but I start tasks. And I've been tasking myself on doing some recap videos of the S&P 500 E-mini futures using our most basic setup, which is the 10,000 contract. That would be this guy. And as we can see on this pullback here, now in the videos, and there's 7 of them total, I think. I did 2 more yesterday, 7, 8. I'm not using weekly trading zones. I'm not using the cycle. I'm not using the DMT. I'm not using the slingshot. I'm not using the combo indicator. I'm not using any of the tools that we typically use to confirm or deny a trade. I'm just going with the MA1 and the BBC. Now, using that idea, there was a pullback right here to 1389, which proceeded to drop to 1385 and change. So about a 4-point drop. We get a bullish cross, and this thing just runs up on us from, let's see, the entry there was about 89, and then it ran up to 97. So about an 8-point move, is that correct? Yeah, I think so.
89 and 97. Yes, that is an 8-point move.
So
actually, 80. Yeah.
Those are the things I'm covering, guys, in this video. Now you can see here we got a bearish cross. Okay. Pull back to 95, and we anticipate the market to drop. Will it drop? Got to wait and see. But if you want to look at the videos, all you have to do is go to the blog. To go to the blog, you just type cfrn.net into your browser window from any page on the website. You just click visit our blog, and it takes you to our blog. Now, I've been working with some new video capture software, which actually gives you a pretty clear picture. It's not fuzzy. It's HD, and with anything there's a learning curve. So the earlier videos, the earliest videos before I got the new software, the audio was really low; you could barely hear it. And when I got the new software, I cranked it up, and it was like really loud. And there's a lot of tools and bells and whistles. And I know you won't be able to hear it here because I'm running audio on one computer and video on another. But in the one from last night, there's actually a colorful graphic. Oh, yeah. And music. That's right. And music. So I'll leave it to your discretion to go out and visit. As always, when you visit, like us with the Google Plus. Tweet us, Facebook us, iTunes us. We'd love you to leave a review on iTunes. And you know what? really helps us if you subscribe to the podcast. Even if you come to the show every day, listen live, podcast is free, but it helps us with the good folks over at Apple. In fact, they said if we don't get a few more subscribers, they may ship us off to Foxconn, and it's going to be really hard to broadcast there because they don't give you much of a break every day. We'll kind of just be standing on the assembly line. So we appreciate it. Just go over there to the iTunes, type in CFRN under podcast, boom, we'll pop right up. Leave a review, okay? If you never go back there again, that's okay. But leave a review, subscribe to the podcast, and then continue to join us live each and every day. You never know, someday you're going to be away from home, you're going to be on a vacation, you're going to be in the Oval Office accepting some kind of an award or presentation, and you're going to go, man, I'm going to miss the show. And then you're going to remember, no, I've subscribed to it on iTunes. You're going to whip out your iOS device, your iPhone, your iPod, your iPad, your whatever's new, and you're going to go blink, and you're going to listen to that radio broadcast because you subscribed via iTunes. So do that. We thank you very much. All right. Let's see. Do we have anything else newsworthy? Tomorrow's a holiday, Good Friday. So Good Friday to each and every one of you. For many people, it's just simply, hey, we get a day off. Why? Amazingly enough, in this nation in which we live, which I don't care what anybody says, it's a Christian nation, many people don't really know why they get tomorrow off. It's Good Friday. It says it all. Well, there's a little bit bigger story behind it. And I encourage all of you to maybe, I know you've all read the story before. Probably been reading it since you were a kid. Probably been hearing it every Easter. But do you have kids? Then maybe you should sit with your kids and maybe you should talk to them about the story. Now, I know it's Easter and there's bunny rabbits and there's eggs and there's baskets and there's chocolate and all of that. But don't let this Easter go by without your kids knowing the true meaning of Resurrection Sunday. Now, Good Friday, we know what that represents. Pretty horrific, okay? No two ways about it. But I'm going to say this. Good Friday, for all that it was and all that it meant, he was not the only man that was ever crucified. In fact, during that day and time, a lot of folks were hanged on a tree. They were. That's just a fact. So, I don't want to discount Friday, Good Friday, because that's important to who we are as a people, our faith, our belief system, Christianity. But what happened on Sunday morning, that's really the cornerstone of our faith, because see, although many men were hanged on a tree, only one rose from the dead. And that's what we celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. So, on Sunday morning, amidst the Easter baskets and the candies and the whatnots, make sure your children understand how important that is. Because as he rose, we have an opportunity at an eternity with him. And I don't know of anything more important I could share with you on the day before Good Friday. And with that, Michael, I'll pass you the mic. Pass you the screens, and we'll recap the morning's activities.
All right, and there was quite a bit of activity. We even did something relatively new this morning. All right. Everybody should be looking at my charts right now. Let me just get this ready here. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is Thursday, April 5th, 2012. We have, I want to remind everyone, every one of our partners, there's a partners meeting tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Tomorrow morning, I will open up the live trading room, though it won't be moderated, all right, because the markets are only open for a short period tomorrow. If you are in here on a free trial and you're at the end of your free trial, you want to become a partner, as Dwayne mentioned a little while ago, send, if you don't already have the email from me, you should already have it, but if you don't already have it, send us an email at support@cfrn.net and we'll get you the information you need to get into the partners meeting tonight. All right, we have a lot of stuff to go over tonight, and I think it'll be an interesting meeting, again, as they usually are. If you have not taken the free trial, go to www.cfrn.net/apply. That's APPLY. And take the free trial. With that free trial, you get all of our indicators for 5 business days, and you get all the Daniel's Trading charting platform and data feed. All right? And it's really awesome that you get all the data feeds. I mean, you're going to see, I'll show you probably 5 or 6 different markets right now in this recap that you'll see. You get all these data feeds for the same price, which is free. All right. All you have to do is go sign up at www.cfrn.net/apply. All right. No credit card needed. No information taken. Just your name, email address, and we'll get you in there. All right. Now, to expound a little bit on the MA1 that Dwayne had just shown to you before I came on here, I just threw our new slingshot indicator on here. Okay? And the thing that just jumps out at me, this is the first time I've ever looked at it on a 5-minute chart, but the idea is to have something that you can trade across all markets, all time frames. Okay? Just looking at this, you can see when there's divergences here and price closes on the other side of the MA1, well, price usually goes in that direction. You see that? The first clue was when this, which is the normal S3 cycle, moved up, that suggested that the move down was over, was ending. All right, then you had these divergences and the closes up above, the pullback down to the MA1, and up it went. All right, a bunch of different opportunities to enter into it here. And you can see right here, this is suggesting that the up move that just happened may be over right here. The way that this is going down, we have some divergences right in here. So a close down below this MA1 on a 5-minute chart would suggest further movement down. Okay, this is just a quick glance at it, just to take it one little step further. But I know Dwayne was just really trying to simplify things for you and just put the MA1 on there, show you a way to trade it. And we'll leave it at that. Okay? All right. I think I'll just close that chart. All right, now to get into the trades that we took this morning, let's do the results first, okay? We are currently plus 12 ticks on gold, plus 12 ticks on soybeans, and minus 8 ticks on the Russell. All right, we did have a Russell trade right at the end of the morning session that set up had I taken it. It was right here. Had I taken it right here, we'd have been plus a couple of ticks anyway on the Russell, all right? But it did set up right there on the short side. And that was it. All right. I don't know which one to do first. I think, you know what? Dwayne just went over the ES quite a bit, but I'll go over it a little bit more from 10,000 contract perspective of what we normally do in our live trading room. Okay? Now, here this morning, we had a bullish cross, and we would have been looking to buy right here on the first pullback down to the BBC. The cycle's in favor of the trade. Everything is going up. Everything looks great. But we had resistance dots right up above us, so we weren't going to trade into resistance. Okay, it dropped down, passed through the BBC just a little bit, and then it continued on up. One thing I noted this morning in the live trading room was we pierced a blue envelope right here, suggesting a 3 to 5 point move up from the level of the pierce in the direction of the envelope. Right? The envelope is blue, so we should go up 5 to 6 points from 1393. From 1393, you would expect to see it get up to 1398. We almost got up there with 1397 quarter right now. All right. Now, from the Pierce, it wasn't straight up. It went up a little bit, pulled back down, bounced off the BBC again for another attempt at 1398. Okay, 1398, 1399. From the 5-minute chart that we just looked at, it's suggesting that things are going to turn around right here at this weekly trading zone and possibly move all the way back down here to this one. Okay? That's just a little bit of information there, a little more information looking at the larger picture. Okay? So we didn't have any follow-up trades here on the 10,000 contract this morning. All right, this was during the break here where we had a bearish cross. We may have considered shorting right over here at the BBC had we been watching it, but it was during the break, and we did not even look at it. All right, that is the ES 10,000 contract. Let's see. Let's jump over here to the ES 7-minute for just a moment. I want to show you the gaps that we've had here lately. That was the gap from yesterday to today. Okay. Pretty significant gap. This, the gap again from the day before yesterday to today. Again, pretty significant gap. Let's see. Oh, you know what? I don't have my questions up here. Eddie, the pullback to support around 1046, you show that as a high probability trade. Hang on a minute. Okay, sorry, I was just reading the questions. I don't mean to have blank spaces here inside the recap. I'll get to that in a few minutes already, okay? Pull back to support at around 1046, you show that as a high probability trade. And you're talking about on the ES, right? At 1046 right here. The pullback to the BBC. Or not to the BBC, but to the weekly trading zone. Well, here's a couple of things. We're looking at it right here on a 7-minute chart. If we were to look at it on the 10,000 contract chart, we typically expect the weekly trading zones to hold. Okay? On the 10,000 contract, yep, I just jumped back over here. We typically expect the weekly trading zones to hold, so what you would look for after this, there's a way that you can trade this, and I can show you how to do that, but you could just wait for the next long trade. Assuming that this is going to hold, just wait for the next long trade, which would have been right in here. If you wanted to take it, regardless of the support and resistance, expecting it to get back up to the next zone up above us. Okay? Now, there's another way you can trade the weekly trading zones. This is courtesy of one of our partners. What he does is when he sees price approaching the weekly trading zone for the first time, he'll put an order on to buy here and an order on to buy here, and he'll put his stop 2 points beyond this one. Okay? And so 1386, your stop would have been down here at 1384. That almost stopped you out right there. It got down to 1384 quarter. But he puts in an order there and there. And if it fills and goes to the 2-point profit target, that's where he takes it. And if only one fills, he takes the other one off. But there is a way to do that. Okay. The pullback to the green dots, it pulled back, yeah, just about to the green dots right there. All right. Did that actually go down to 34? Or did I don't have my tool tips on. Or did it go to 34 quarter? I mean, 84 quarter. I don't know. Either way, it was bouncing off of the support dots. Now, the support dots started right here. It was printed right there. Could you have taken that as a trade? Yes. No, you're talking about right here. Could you have taken that as a trade? Oops, not there. 1046 is what you're talking about. Over here. Okay. Now we're on the same page. All right. Could you have taken this? Well, we don't have the weekly trading zone right here. I was over here on the weekly trading zone. We don't have the weekly trading zone right here. Is this a high probability trade? It's, for me, it's not as high probability as the first pullback to the BBC. But when the market is approaching the weekly trading zone like it is right here, you know, you expect it to get there. You could see the market was moving up. You would expect it to get there. After this pierce of the envelope down here, we were looking for it to get up here, actually, just a little higher. Okay, just a little higher than that. So if you had a bias, long would have been it. The place to enter on this, in my opinion, would have been when the market showed you that it was still going to continue going in that direction. It comes down here, hits the BBC. I don't think I would have been buying the BBC right here. You know, back here, I would have bought the BBC. Up here, I'll wait for an up close, like this one, or this one, right here. This was actually probably an up close. You can't tell because I have an indicator painting the bars, but I think that this right here was an up close. But an up close above the MA1 would have been the real signal for me that it was going to keep going up. Okay. All right, Eddie? That's what I would have been looking at, like right here on in the opposite direction. The down close below the MA1, right here. Now, we just looked at the 5-minute, and on the 5-minute, it was suggesting that it was, you know, it had pretty much reached the top here, and it was going to start moving down. So where's it going to go from here? Well, we don't know, but the weekly trading zone down below is here at 86.87 is a pretty likely scenario. All right, it's got to break this support first. If it breaks through that support, then we should be good. Okay? All right. Sorry, I got all mixed up earlier when I was looking over here. All right. Yeah, I'm happy to answer all the questions, even during the whole recap. Anyway, that was the ES. That was the ES this morning, guys. Now, let's go to the Russell. All right. I took one trade on the Russell this morning, and I actually made a mistake taking the trade. I should have waited for the down close right here, but I jumped in because I had just noticed that it was doing... For the third time, it was starting to do anyway, for the third time, what had it done right here. Now, what I'm looking at here, and this is pretty congested. Let me blow it up a little bit so it's not as congested. All right, what I'm looking at here is the MA1 getting down below the BBC, okay, and price pulling back up to the BBC, testing the BBC when you have bearish divergence down here on the slingshot. Okay, when you have this bearish divergence on the slingshot between the green and the cycle, which is the red and blue line, you expect the BBC to hold. So wait for the down close and then enter short. All right, it did it twice here. Wait for the down close and then enter short. On this one right here on the third pullback up, I didn't wait for the down close and I got stopped out right there. That was my -8 ticks on the Russell right there. Okay, and then it didn't have any other opportunities until... right here. Okay. It had one right here. You had bullish divergence. You see the space between the green and the cycle. And it pulled down, tested the BBC, and had an up close right there. I pointed that out while it was happening in the live trading room, but I didn't want to take it because it's right in the middle of a weekly trading zone. All right. And that, I don't trade in the middle of the trading zones. This one happened right at the end of the morning session, and I said... It was coming together, but I didn't take it. This would have gotten me back my eight ticks, at least right here. It pulled back up, tested the BBC. We had the divergence down here, so the down close, this bar right here, this close, is where you would have been looking to enter on this bar for the move down. Okay, now it did it again right here. This is the down close. This is the divergence. Right here. Okay. So the entry would have been here for the move down. And it moved all the way down here. Now, this arrow is going the wrong way. We have bullish divergence right here. And right here, it tested it. Now it's going right into a weekly trading zone. Again, I don't trade into the weekly trading zones. It looks like it's kind of stuck there right now. But it pulled back right here to the BBC with the bullish divergence. Tested it, closed up, so there was a move up right there. Okay, going right into the weekly trading zone. Anyway, the one trade that I did take on the Russell this morning was over here, and that was my losing trade. Okay, now let me slide that off to the side, and we'll bring this over. This is the YM. I didn't take any YM trades this morning. Okay, if I remember right, there was only one that set up. Yeah, after the open, there was only one trade that that setup, and it was right in here. Okay, this was the first pullback to the BBC after the bullish cross. First pullback to the BBC. You needed to have about 10 ticks risk on the trade. And you can see it moved all the way up there. Okay. We had a bearish cross right here. This is the first pullback after the bearish cross, and that one's still working itself out. If you had ended on that at 13,011, it had a drawdown to 13,019, so you would have had to have about 10 ticks risk on that one, too. Dwayne had mentioned something about that was, I think, valuable for all the partners and anyone who's on the trial this morning. With the YM setting the stop at about 1.5 times the average true range is probably a wise thing. Okay, because with the YM, I like to keep my stops really small, because usually the BBC is just going to hold like it did right here, or it's not going to hold like it didn't right here. Okay, usually the BBC is going to hold or it's not going to hold. But if the average true range is a little bigger than, you know, I like to use a 7-tick stop, but if the average true range is 7 ticks, well, then you're more likely to get stopped out at 7 or 8 ticks, and then it's going to go in the direction you expect it to. Okay, but if the ATR, you know, if you make your stop 1.5 times that, which would be about 10 or 11 ticks, then you can see that would have kept you in both of these trades that we had today on the YM. And that was a great point, Dwayne, this morning. Okay. All right, let me slide that over. I didn't do anything on the NASDAQ or the 6E this morning. I don't even have a NASDAQ chart up right now because I was looking at soybeans. And I'll get to those in a minute here. Rodney, on the Russell chart, what was the setting of the green line? This one right here? Or the little step one? You know the BBC, right? Oh, and the slingshot. The green line is the 2. That's the fast. Okay, that's the fast on. I'll bring it back over and I'll show you. It's easier to show you. All right, in the slingshot properties, S1, the S1 line is set to 2, and the S1 fast on right here, that's the green line. Set that to true. Okay. That is what I have there. And that was the same setting for the 5-minute ES that we looked at. It's the same setting that I have here, that I have here, that I have here, that I have here, that I have there. It's the same setting across all of them. All right. And now you can see the ES is moving down, like we had anticipated. All right. So what have I done so far? I've done the Russell, the ES, the YM. Now I'm going to do gold. Okay, on gold, we're up 12 ticks. We were up 20-something ticks. I don't remember how many. And that's just on the trades that I managed to take this morning, guys. There were a ton of trades. There was a bunch of opportunity. You know, I didn't win every trade, clearly. I had some losing trades because I was at 20-something, and I'm now at 12. But I did win a bunch of them. All right. Now, all I'm looking at right here on the Russell, I'm not on the Russell, but on the gold this morning, was I was looking for these lines to all head down, all right, in the same direction, and then price to close underneath everything. You just get short. Same thing on the upside. All the lines head up, and price closes above everything, and you get long. Doesn't work every single time. You can see this one worked, and this one worked, and this one didn't. I didn't take that. This one worked. That one didn't. That one did. That one did. That one did. Though I got a break even on it. That one did work out. That one worked. That one worked. There was one right here that worked. There was one here and there. There was one here that... No, there wasn't one there. Sorry. There was one here that worked. One here that didn't work that I took. Here worked. There worked. you know, I can go through this all day, but you can see the setup is pretty much the same. And this is the same thing. You can do this on, you can do this on the YM, you can do this on the ES, you can do this on the Russell, you can do it on soybeans, you can do it on gold, using the same exact setup, the same exact stuff. All right. Today, I showed it on the ES, I showed it on the YM, I did it on gold, I did it on the Russell, and I did it in the soybeans. Okay? You can see I was pointing down here where all the lines are heading in the same direction. At least I think that's what I was pointing at down here. And you get your closes on the other side. Like right over here, for instance, all the lines moved down, and there was a huge move down right there. I think there used to be another... when I had the cycle on here, this would also show some divergence. All right. Let's just take off the lines that don't have any meaning, and the arrows don't have any meaning. I don't want to confuse anybody. Okay. But you can see when everything starts to point up and it closes above everything, it generally moves in that direction. Okay? More often than not, it's going to move in that direction. And that is what happened on gold this morning. We had quite a few trades on the gold. You can see all the yellow ones were trades that we actually took. Well, not these right here. This was after the ones inside this box right here I didn't do. But everything leading up to it that was yellow I did do in the live trading room. Now, just to make my point a little clearer, this is the 4-tick range on the ES, all right? I'm just going to apply the same exact thing to it. And when everything's going up, it moves up. When everything's going down, it moves down. Now, how big are these trades, you might ask? Here's 93.50 down to 91.75. So that was 7 ticks right there. What would your risk be on that, you ask? Up above the prior swing. 93.50 to 90.95, point and a half risk. Everything moves up right there. All the lines going up, and price just moved up. Right, and that was on the open. And this is the first time I've really looked at it on the ES 4-tick range. But, you know, we have our typical 4-tick range setup that we use right here. But what I'm trying to show is that applying the same theory, the same logic, using the same indicators across different markets works. Okay. So you don't have to learn 100 setups, you just need to learn one. Over here on the YM, I know I have a YM 4-tick range. Here it is. Here's my YM 4-tick range. Now if I apply the same template right here, there it is. All the lines moving down, which would have been right in here for the short. Over here, all the lines moving up, right in here, closes up above. I mean, obviously, you would have had to have some risk on here, 7 or 8 ticks. Right here, all the lines moving down. You know, you can see the same thing works up here on the YM. All the lines moving up, all the lines moving down, all the lines moving up and down. Okay. Now let me slide that off, and so we've done gold, the Russell, the YM, the ES. Let's do soybeans. All right, same logic. Same exact thing here in the soybeans. Looking for all the lines to move down right here. Okay, right there. They were all going down. You take the close down below everything up here, which was right there, for the short. All the lines moving up, which was right there. You take the close up above everything, which is right in here, for the long. Okay? Simple as that. It's done another one here, but the soybeans typically trade better between 10 and 12 Eastern Time. you know, in this period right here, from like right here to right here, is probably the best time to trade the soybeans. I know there's a lot of movement over here. That was from yesterday afternoon and last night. Now, and the same logic applies, and it still worked, but you'd be waiting a long time between trades over here. You know, like entering this trade at 2015, so that's 8:15, and, you know, over here at 21:03, so 45 minutes later, it finally reaches the bottom. If that's okay with you, then that's okay. Could you use a slingshot on the YM500? Why, yes, I believe you can. I know you can, Frank. I actually have it on there. Okay. That's not the prettiest slingshot, though. That was one of the earlier versions, I think. So I need to clean that up a little bit. Hang on, let me just take that off of there if I can. View all active indicators, slingshot, remove, yes, close, and I'll just insert another one on there. Okay, it should be all set up by default. Okay, that's a little better. Okay, so all the lines moving up, price moving up. It's a little harder to discern on the 500 contract, but all the lines moving down right over here, price moving down. All the lines moving up in here, price moving up. All the lines moving down right in here. It moved down. It pulled back up a little bit first, but it did end up going back down. And another thing that you can look at here is the divergences like this. Okay, if you have a test of the BBC, this is the same thing that I was looking at on the Russell. When price comes down to test the BBC right here, do you have divergence down here? Okay. When price tests it here, was there divergence? And price tested it here, there was still divergence. Okay. You can look at it that way. Right here when price tested it, the first time it tested it anyway, we had all this divergence. Let's slide that over a couple bars. Right there was the first test. Okay, and that's, you know, that's in the middle of the night. But when the day started over here, 7 o'clock, you know, we have this area right here, right on top of a weekly trading zone. But we also had all this divergence. Okay. Over here, this was the first pullback this morning. Right? And we had all that divergence right there. So you anticipate the BBC to hold. Now, wait for an up close. You would have been entering in over here instead of up here at the BBC. Like on all of these, if you waited for an up close, you would have been entering there. You would have been entering there. You would have been entering here on the short. Now it depends how you want to handle your risk with the trade. Okay? But yes, you can use it over there as well. Alright. So let's see, I covered soybeans, YM, ES, gold, Russell. I think that's it. I think I've covered them all, guys. Alright, I'm going to stop the recording here because this turned out to be a long recording. And we want to be able to get it out there onto the website. Alright, so again, we ended up plus 12 ticks gold, plus 12 ticks soybeans, minus 8 ticks Russell. Alright, I stopped the recording. Now, if anybody has any more questions, I am here to answer them.
Have you seen the Google augmented reality glasses?
I have not.
Wow.
I have not.
There's a video. You guys can Google it up. Just Google Google glasses. It'll take you to a little video, our page that tells you about it. And the New York Times quoted earlier this week that the glasses would go on sale sometime this year, But on the official Google on the official Google page, it does not say they'll go on sale this year. But it's pretty fascinating. They look kind of odd, and everybody walking around wearing them in their current form will look a bit like a cyborg. But yeah, you just really, you know, if you enjoy tech stuff, Google, there she is.
There she is. Augmented reality glasses.
And the little thing on the right, that's the screen that you see. And, man, you take phone calls and you use your voice to send text messages. And it just goes on and on. It overlays maps. It gives you directions. I mean, you've got the entire internet right there, right in front of you. You know, when the Bluetooth ear things came out, that was really cool. But you notice how they never really caught on? I mean, they did to a degree, but even now, years later, when you go into a Starbucks or anywhere, and some guy has one of these big things, and they're still big things, sticking out of their ear, and they're standing there talking to themselves, it seems odd. I mean, I have a couple laying around here, and I used them once or twice, and I never used them again. One, I didn't like the idea that my head was getting zapped with all those rays or whatever they were all the time, but it didn't look right, it didn't feel right, it just seemed strange. This is even stranger. But somehow I think this may find more acceptance than the Bluetooth earplug for your cell phone, because it just does so much more. And they'll ultimately find a way to make it look cool, I guess. This is still the prototype, but it works. They show a person walking through the streets in New York or wherever they are, using it and what it's going to look like. And yeah, pretty cool stuff. Whether they'll let you wear them when you're driving, I don't know. I mean, they won't let you talk on the cell phone anymore, or they don't want you to. But this could be seen as something to help you drive. I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's going to be big, though. That much.
It is Google, after all.
Yeah, after all. Yeah. Okay. All right. I got a text message that David had an emergency come up. He will not be able to be with us. He extends you all his Good Friday and Happy Easter best wishes. But pretty rare for him not to put in an appearance. So I hope everything's okay. Keep him in your prayers. I don't know any more details other than he said, I'm really sorry, an emergency came up, and I won't be there. Now, that could be David speak for I'm going on a long weekend early. But he said emergency, yeah. So I'm going to go with that.
We'll go with that.
The emergency may have been his fiance was standing there tapping her foot, saying, "Can we just go?" And you know, that could qualify. That could qualify as an emergency.
Yeah.
Now I think Bert is hovering in the background. I sent an email out to Mike Reed to see if he wanted to pop in, but I'm guessing he didn't check his email because I didn't hear back. And I texted Mike R. to see if he wanted to come on and talk for a minute. And he's in a meeting somewhere. He said he would like to, but he just can't because he's in this meeting. And I texted him back. I said, well, could you just ask the people in the meeting to go out into the hall and give you like 15 minutes and then come back in? And he said, no, he really couldn't do that. So I said, well, okay. No. But he said he would like to come on the show again, or he'd like to come on the show sometime. He speaks up guys a lot in the partners meetings, talks about what he's doing, how he's putting the indicators to work, etc. So unless you're a partner, you won't ever hear that. So I thought maybe having him on the radio would be a good idea. And he said he will do it on another day. Well, Bert, are you there?
I am, Dwayne.
Hey.
I'm here. I'm hanging around.
All right. Anything you want to share with us?
No.
Okay. In a word? No.
Yeah, no, you know, be honest. You know, things are quiet today. The action around a lot of the markets are pretty subdued, considering we have, for the most part, all the markets are closed with the exception of the S&P. I think they're just hanging out because they want to put the unemployment report out. With that being said, because we're only going to be open until 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Now, Bert, somebody told me they got an email today from the CME. Mm-hmm. That said they were actually going to close it. Michael, what did they say in the chat room this morning? 8:15?
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
Their official PDF from the CME said 8:15. Not that it matters because we're going to be off anyway, but it might matter to somebody.
Actually, I am looking at a piece of paper from a schedule from RJO, and it does say something about 8:15 here, so you may be right.
Okay.
But I have the currencies and interest rates until 10:15. So, but in any event, whether it's 8:15 or 10 o'clock, guys, the point is, take your hand off the joystick tomorrow. You know, if there's something unusual that happens, if we don't meet expectations, you're going to get some wild swings. All right, and if you're not watching your back, it could be really painful tomorrow. So, you know, I think it's been said from David and Dwayne, you know, just take tomorrow off. If you have some positions on, you know, you might look over your shoulder just to see if, you know, make sure there's no surprises. But just try to avoid tomorrow. It's actually silly that they even did this, but it is what it is, and you just kind of deal with it. So that's my advice.
Now, the big board will be closed all day.
Yeah, the cash market's going to be closed. So, you know, who's going to be pushing the market around? You know, retail. I doubt any institutional people really will be pushing around.
The one-lot retail traders and the five-lot dentists.
Yeah, and unless somebody, you know, unless one of those other guys really want to get tricky and try to push things around. So, but usually, you know, you get little aberrations in the market. You know, your pivots are usually extended. So just try to avoid it. You know, something that David said yesterday, you know, in the calendar, he did have today and tomorrow as a market bottom. As long as the market has daily and hourly closes above 1380. So, you know, you guys have been listening to him. You might, you know, keep that in the back of your mind. You know, he has somewhat of a bullish bias in the next couple of days as long as we hold 1380. Now, if you look at a weekly chart, there is some support at 77 and 75 off the old tops. So that would be, you know, if they really knock the market down tomorrow and then, or Sunday night or Monday, that would prove to be the first major support line I would see. So consider that if you're in the mood to buy. But he's only looking for that, you know, as a multi-day advance. So who knows how far he thinks it'll go. I mean, chart-wise, you're probably looking at 1402 to 1401 on the flip side. So consider that as a level.
Last night, price ran up to the weekly zone at 95.96, flipped around, came back down to the weekly zone at 86.87, spent 4 hours there, turned back up, ran straight back to the 95.96 zone, and now we're just south of that 95, trading 93.75. So, I mean, this zone-to-zone action here, we went from zone to zone to zone. That could be the playing field for the rest of the day, because I think as the day progresses, it's going to just get slower and slower and slower. Don't you think?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think things will really start drying up if they haven't already. If I look around the room here, there's guys already starting to leave. So you can tell, you know, when that starts happening. They're going to try to catch today's the Cubs game opener. So I'll have some guys leaving, catching the baseball games.
You
stuff,
going?
So. No.
No?
No, I'm going to man my post today and tomorrow. So Leslie's going to take a well-deserved day off because she's been picking up my slack for the couple weeks I've been out this month. So that's my story. What other things can we talk about? Gold market. I know, you know, that's in a lot of newspapers and websites and stuff like that. You know, personally, I don't think this is the low for gold. I mean, you're trading below the 200-day, the 50-day, the QE3, you know, the possible dismissal of that gives it a bearish fundamental picture. You might consider, if there is a bottom anywhere, somewhere in this, you know, if I had to pick a bottom, I would start, put my crosshairs at around 1585. Now, from my desk, you know, we've had a pretty hard drop the last couple of weeks. We've had, you know, some big drops and then a move up. And then yesterday we had a $50 drop. And from my standpoint, we haven't shaken out any of the gold bugs. What that means is, you know, when the gold market is dropping and the silver market's dropping, usually the margin guy is running back and forth doing laps saying, margin call, margin call, margin call.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing, on my end, I'm not seeing that, you know what, forget it, cash me out, I'm done, get me out. So we haven't really flushed anyone out. So if this is a game about flushing people out, you know, a capitulation before we head back up, I haven't seen that yet. I haven't seen that panic selling. So consider that when you're thinking about the gold market. So that's why, both technically, fundamentally, and a little bit of this, you know, did we squeeze everyone out yet, the gold bugs? No, we haven't seen that yet. And so that's why I think the gold market still has a little bit more room to go to the downside.
Well, the December low was down at 1530.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still $100 lower if we were to go and test that bottom.
And that's possible. Actually, if you have a daily chart there, Dwayne.
I do.
Or I can pull up my chart, whatever you want.
Yeah, I think we're still looking at my charts, right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
There we go. All right. You guys saw I just took a gold trade there. I took two gold trades. One of them made 10 ticks. The other one went 10 ticks, but I got out of break even on it. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
So here's the gold chart. Let me shrink it down.
Maybe tighten it up, yeah. Just draw a line off the tops there, Dwayne, over back in November, off the November tops. Go down, go off the other top. There you go. No, the other one. There you go. I think you're getting, there you go. All right, so maybe a little bit lower here. Maybe a revisit of the downtrend line that we broke.
Yeah.
That's probably a shade under 1600. There's probably some stop losses under the whole number.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I think 1590 to 1580 might be the first level of support. You might see actually a reaction off of that level. And again, going back to David's work, I still think he has a bearish bias to it. And he's still looking for lower prices. Okay? So, again, if you're interested in gold, I don't think it's time to be a buyer yet. So sit on your hands and wait for something to change. Because the chart's saying lower, fundamentals are a little bit better. And I don't think you squeezed everyone out yet. You know, the guys that bought it above 17 and they're hoping and wishing that it comes back up. So.
Oh, that was a headset disaster. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay.
It's okay.
That's a little bit of the gold.
It sounded like me falling out of my chair, but it was just the headset.
else is there to talk about? Yeah, let's see. You got a crude oil chart? I know. Did David talk about the roadmap yesterday for crude? That fair game to talk about it?
Because
I know he's pretty sensitive with now that it's in Messenger Pro, so.
Let's go there. G. Yeah,
go to GCLM2. Talk about June crude. Now, the front month is May, all right, but we'll just talk about June because M is in Mary.
Okay.
I guess the chart's going to be the same, but I'll just so go GC. L.
Come on, GCLM. There we go.
All right, I'll tighten that up a little bit.
As tight as it goes.
Okay. All right, well, I'll make a few comments here because I got... Unless you want to give me the chart real quick, I'll show you my screen.
Sure.
I got some averages. You guys haven't seen that yet, right? Or it's been a while.
Yeah.
So everyone, don't hang up yet. All right, can you guys see that? Yeah, I'll talk. Ron, I do have an opinion on beans because I do trade the beans every day. All right, here's looking at June crude. What you're seeing here, the yellow moving average is a 200-day, which is a pretty good barometer when you're looking back in time here. It acts as pretty good support and resistance. And if you guys notice, the guys that have been subscribers of Messenger Pro, this number might ring a bell. So the point is, why crude stopped at maybe yesterday's low? Well, the little uptrend line was coming in right here. All right. I wouldn't be surprised if the unemployment report, if that does come out bullish tomorrow, what we could do is we could see a revisit of this downtrend line here. Now, David actually had been talking about the crude oil being on the same cycle as the S&P, right? So he was looking for a monthly top in the month of March. So if that's the path we're going down right now, then what we might do with, you know, some help with the unemployment tomorrow is we might actually try to rally a little bit here and try to revisit this downtrend line is what I would kind of envision. If so, and if you really wanted to stick your neck out, I think that would be the point where you might consider going short the crude. Now, if I were going to short the crude, I would probably buy puts as opposed to just going short. And for obvious reasons, the headline risk that's, you know, could happen at any moment, all right? So if indeed this is a monthly top, if this deed qualifies with what David's looking for, what you might consider on a rally are the July crude oil puts. And I know David is looking for a pretty hard drop if it does qualify. So you might look at, the July crude, 90 puts, let's just say, if you read into that. Look at the July crude 90 puts. Yeah, I know that's way the heck down here. But if a few things happen, a 618 retracement is not off. You know, that's not out of the realm of things. Okay? So, yeah, I think there's an opportunity in the crude oil. Yeah, I think there's potential that the March top is being put into place. As far as David's work is concerned, he's looking for more of a confirmation like he is for the S&P. Fourth or fifth, if I were going to attack this trade, I would do it in the form of a put. And if you're new to options, the bottom line is this. If you're buying a put, you're betting on the market is going down. That's the bet. Okay? It has to happen within a certain time period. June crude options expire in the middle of June. All right, so the bet is June has to drop into expiration. All right? If you spend, hypothetically, if you spend $1,000 for that put option, there is no margin requirement. Your maximum risk, if crude goes to the moon, your maximum risk is the premium paid or the $1,000. That's the bottom line. Okay? Now, there's a few things that are going on, time and time decay. The idea is that, you know, you want the market to go down, and you want to hopefully hit your strike price that you select, okay? Now, the good thing is that you can always get rid of the options at any point in time. So if you bought them today, you can sell them tomorrow, okay? So that's the quick story on, you know, how you buy, you know, the option strategy 101, okay? So that's a little tidbit on the crude oil. Again, I think David is looking for the same March monthly top, still lacking confirmation. He thought if a few things happened, he would give more details. And I know he mentioned maybe throwing it out on the radio, but definitely to the Messenger Pro subscribers. So keep that in mind. Ron had a question about, one second here, Ed's got a question. Ed, I actually wanted to go to July, and the reason is those expire in June. And I know, Ed, you're a subscriber to the Messenger Pro. He's looking for that drop in May, so I wanted to give it some more time, if that makes sense. I didn't want them to expire in May and then have the market go down and then we run out of time and they expire worthless. So I thought I'd give it another 30 days so the premium would hold its value. So, yeah, I would look at July. But you're right. He's looking at June crude prices. Soybeans. Let's look at this real quick. A few things going on here. All right. We had a report. This was a report day. Let me blow this up a little bit. This is a report day. All right. This kind of caught some people off guard. And the fact is that I think they were showing that there was going to be less beans planted. Was that the idea, Leslie? All right, so it's supply and demand, right? So obviously less beans planted means bullish for beans, right?
Right.
All right, so that is the story behind it, all right? And that's why when we broke out, we've continued. So what you have here right now is a little bit of congestion, Ron. And what I would consider, and I don't right now, is that we're congesting. So I think if we took out 1434 half, maybe 1435, you probably can buy it on some momentum. You notice how we got a triple top here? So it's like barging a door down a few times. You got to get a few runs at it. All right. I think the next time through this door, we're going to break through. And what you'd want to do is measure the width of this congestion to give you the target. So what you would go do, like, let's go like this. Let's keep it simple. We don't have to be dead on. All right, it's about 30 cents. So my point is, Ron, if we take out 1435, my gut feeling is, or the chart's telling us, we'll probably see 1460, 1465, okay? Now, I know the weather here is great. They're getting corn in. I think the wheat progress is ahead of schedule. I think if they get wheat cut early, I think they could substitute those wheat acres with beans. And if that's the case, this could be just an aberration for a juicy sell for new crop beans. Okay. So right now, they're talking about tightness, maybe not getting the beans in. But if we continue to get good weather, if we start substituting wheat and cotton acres for bean acres, this could be one heck of a sell for the soybeans, especially new crop. And new crop beans, by the way, is November. Okay? November beans. So, you know. So short term, I'd say, yeah, a little bit bullish old crop in May, above, what did I say, 1435 above the, you know, triple top here. If it if it takes out the width of the congestion, you're probably looking at 30 cents higher. All right? Use money management, trail your stop, move it up relative to the market. All right? Bigger picture, I think we're a little bit overdone here. Bigger picture, I think this is a market that's going up the elevator and can fall down the shaft at any moment in time. And actually, I think the play would be actually more of a bearish posture, because I think weather is going to be better. I think, you know, we'll see some soybean acres down the road, and I think actually it could really push the beans lower. So I'd be longer term, I'd be cautious up here, but short term, we just got to go with the flow. You know, it's like the S&P. The S&P is just defying gravity, right? And it's our, you know, it's our instinct to try to sell this at every high, because personally, we're thinking to ourselves, it's too high, it's too high. It can't go any higher, it can't go any higher, and it keeps going higher. So you kind of, sometimes you have to put on the blinders and just go with the flow. And sometimes it's hard to do. So that's the soybeans. So, if this low, this is the S&P, by the way, we're looking at an hourly. If this low, 1384, sticks, what you might see, this support around 1388 to 1390.
All right. What's the
symmetrical to this low over here, right?
What's the all-time high for beans?
Oh boy.
15.
It had to be last year or 2 years ago. Let me go like this real quick. $16.63.
Okay.
Now, the way this chart looks, it looks like that's very possible. This could be somewhat of a cup and handle formation where we're building the cup, have a little kickback here, and follow through. Now, if you're a guy that likes like Dennis Gartman and who's the other commodity guy that loves grains, that picture looks pretty bullish, so... And that's on a monthly scale, so. All right. And so, like I said, back to the S&P. Keep David's forecast in mind. He says anything above 80. Here was that weekly chart I wanted to show you guys. See this old top? Here's what I think is happening here. All right, and then I'll shut up. I think, as you guys were talking about the last couple of days, Dwayne, guys are having a hard time buying it up here.
Right.
So what happens is a lot of times the market has to create a short interest, right? So they need to break some prior lows to create short interest. And I think one level was below 1386.85. I think also another level could be under this 1381 level. That would entice people to say, hey, you know, maybe we're rolling over. Maybe this is a semi head and shoulders top. You know, this is the left. This is the head. This is the right. Right? And that might induce or, you know, promote some short interest. And so what I think could happen is we can actually find some port right here, you know, at this old top on the daily, which would be around 71 max, because that would scare some of the bulls out of their position. But also, if you look at a weekly here, we got a level here at 73.5. And that might be the other bottom. So the weekly looks a little scary because your stochastics and the RSI are curling up here. And, you know, the weeklies are, you know, we're really starting to make a lower low here. So I don't know. I guess if I had my... If I had my choice with the market, it'd be a buyer at around 77. Dwayne, I think your weekly trading zone at 80 is good, too. If I were going to take a shot at the short side right now, 1401 for me, 1402 is pretty legit. Unfortunately, you're probably going to have to risk it over 1414. So it's not going to be cheap. And it certainly is going to be scary if it starts dropping underneath 80 and 81 to step in front of that freight train. So be a little tricky there.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, thanks, Bert. It's good to hear from you and see your charts again. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. It has. I always listen. I'm in the background. I know David gets on a roll and really gets into it. So I don't want to. I'll let him be and let him take over this stuff. But for the most part, I do talk to him on a daily basis, and we kind of chat markets, and so there are a lot of things that he is looking at. I'm pretty alert to. And for me personally, when it comes to his work, it's got to match up with me. You know, in other words, let's say he says gold is going lower, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I have a buy signal, I'm certainly not going to go short. Now, a lot of times, and you guys have seen this, he says it's going to go down, it goes down, it goes, I told you so. But, it's got to work for me. Anyways.
So, yeah, you're using it to confirm what you already see, not as a crystal ball.
Yeah, there you go. You hit it right on. Perfect. So, this one thing, and I'll let you go, Dwayne, if you want. If you guys want me to shut up, just let me know.
Go ahead, man. Anything you want
to
talk about?
I'll just throw this. He's looking for that monthly top in bonds.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned about selling calls and stuff like that. I'm earmarking this level right here, this 200-day moving average as a level to start doing that. If the market starts breaking down, you might see that flight to quality go on and drive this market a little bit higher. So if I were going to take that strategy that he suggested, where you're going to try to sell calls, and the reason why he told you, I think, 145 or 144, because it gets you... See this? It gets you above the mess here.
Mm-hmm.
This mess. This is where these are the strikes. Anything above this level, you guys should be trying to, try to sell. So in other words, you might anything above 144, 145, I would consider trying to, sell some July or June bond calls. But what I'd like you to do. If it were up to me, I would see a challenge of this 200-day.
Right.
I don't know if this is a fib number. No, 618 is 140. That probably puts you at 2% on the 10-year note, right? Mm-hmm. And that seemed to be a magic number that it got through on the way down. So, yeah, you know what? If it got to 140 in the June bond, but as high as this 140.22, this 200-day moving average,
mm-hmm.
then what I would do is, what you guys are looking at is my option screen. What you might consider is this, ZBM12, right? That's my symbol, or...
Right.
It's not what is going to work for me, because I'm talking to everyone.
There we go.
Here, June 145s. I mean, today, right now, they're going for a whopping $265. But if we get up to 140, and your delta on these right now is about 10%, you're probably looking at 30 points, so maybe about $500 on these if we get to that target. So keep this in mind. If you're looking at David's work and that possibly selling those calls out in time, wait on a little bit, see if we can challenge it 200-day, maybe the 140 level, and then consider the 145 calls in June or the 146s or the 147s. When you do this, all right, when you sell options, there's going to be a margin requirement, okay? And the margin requirement is usually about half the initial. That's about the rule of thumb. And then it varies every day. All right, so that means if the market goes down, it might get smaller. If it moves up against you, it's going to be greater and greater and greater. It's always going to vary. And as time decays, it's going to get smaller too, okay? So when you do this type of strategy, what I would do, and this is what I personally do, is I just assume that they can charge me the full amount. Because here's what the retail guy does. He gets and he says, hey, they're only going to charge me $1,500 for this? Heck, put me in for three or four of them.
Mm.
And what happens is the market goes up, the margin gets busted out, and guess what? I'm giving them a phone call and saying, hey, you're over-leveraged, and you need to send money for a margin call. So when you do this, to save you the grief, and just think about it. Hey, I'm doing this. I'm placing the bet that we're not going to be above 145. Assume the full margin requirement, because if it ever gets to that point, you already accounted for it money-wise. Okay. The textbook situation on selling options is you have unlimited risk and you have limited gains, and it kind of frowns on people. And, you know, that's not the way to go. But if you're one of those guys that's ever bought options, you know, you've taken the other side, you know that those options expire worthless a lot of times. So you're the guy on the other side of that trade. The point is that if things get parabolic, let's say war breaks out, the end of the world happens, bonds are screaming, you still have unlimited risk. So the strategy is good. I think you have to have some experience. And the other thing is, you know, keep in mind, ultimately you're short the market and you still have to manage the risk. So it's a great strategy, but it is a little risky, and so you have to consider those things. Robert's got a good point. He says you can limit your risk by buying. You could be doing credit spreads, and, you know, that's for another time. But there's ways you can defend against the risk. And so, anyways.
Good stuff.
All right, is there anything else? Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anybody got any questions for Bert? We don't get him on too often, so if you got a question, go ahead and type it in.
Yeah, the broker likes Iron Condors because that creates a lot of commissions. I'm kind of a simple guy. If I'm doing it, I'll just sell calls or sell puts, or, you know, from occasion I'll like Robert suggested, I'll do credit spreads where I'm selling one that's closer to the money or closer to where the market is, but I'll buy one that's further out in the event you get a black swan scenario where the market gets parabolic and there's got to be some money management involved. I think that's it. That's all I have, really.
Okay.
So, bottom line is, guys, don't trade tomorrow if you can. Unless you have risk on, then, of course, check in from time to time. I'll be at the desk tomorrow, so if you guys want to call, I don't know what I'll be doing, but I'll be working on something. I think that's it, really.
All right. Well, Bert, have a great holiday weekend.
Yeah, you too. Everyone else, do the same. Like I said, I'm always in the background, but I kind of let David take you guys take the ball.
Yeah. Well, no, we like having you on. You bring a perspective to it that is very valuable, and we appreciate it. And I hope you'll make time and do it more often. All right.
Yeah, be happy to.
All right, buddy. Well, listen. Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great holiday weekend.
Hey, I gotta give you the screen back, or I'll turn everyone off on accident.
Yeah, just go ahead and push it back to me. I'll even play you some outro music.
I didn't notice what time it was.
Oh, man. Oh, that's good.
I thought you'd like
that. That is good. Yeah, you'd like that. That's funny stuff.
For those of you who don't know, that song was done by a group called Spiral Staircase, and it's spelled S-T-A-R-E, case. That's right, Spiral Staircase. Okay, well, that's going to do it for me, too. Going to check out, head on into this Good Friday Easter weekend. To all of you, I hope you enjoy the holiday. Spend some quality time with your family. Please don't allow your children to fail to understand what this holiday really is about, and take a few moments yourself to reflect. I don't have to tell you to go to church this Sunday because everybody goes on Christmas and Easter, right? So I guess I'll see you all there. Thanks so much for, and partners, I'll see you tonight in the partners meeting, 9 p.m. Eastern. Again, to those of you who've been on the free trial this week, you're ready to become a partner. You can still get into the meeting tonight. You can still get the indicators, the platform downloaded, the data flowing. There's enough hours in the day left, okay? But you've got to get a hold of us. support@cfrn.net. Michael or either myself will get back to you this afternoon, and we'll make sure you're in that partners meeting tonight. So thanks so much for tuning in. Oh, and for those of you who haven't taken the free trial, cfrn.net/apply. Get signed up today while Bert's still in the office. You'll be able to download the platform, the indicators, get the data flowing. As we head into this long weekend, you'll be able to tinker with the platform, tinker with the indicators, and you'll be all souped up and ready to go Monday morning when you take your 5-full-day free trial. All right? That's it. Thanks so much for tuning in. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a 1-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decision. Manning the desk from our studio in Chicago is Burton Bert Schlichter. Bert is an e-mini options trading expert, teacher, and mentor. Countless retail and institutional clients have reaped the benefits of his 15 years of experience. He places a strong emphasis on trading the markets from a technical standpoint, and his extensive knowledge of options trading strategies is evident as a CFRN co-host. His impressive resume includes senior market analyst for Daniels Trading. Bert has also written for Reuters, CBS MarketWatch, and has been featured on British television for his S&P commentary. Tune in weekdays at noon Eastern for live reports straight from the broker's desk. CFRN's commentary, insight, and trade ideas are published by numerous financial sites across the internet, and it flows primarily from the desk and pen of our very own Leslie Burton. E-mini market expert, trainer, and options broker, Leslie has 24 years' experience in the futures markets, monitoring the various indicator packages and systems that both professional and retail clients use. She learned her trade from the old-school pit warriors, who had nothing more than hand-graph charts to formulate trades. She has been broker for many CTAs, such as Michael Cavallo, one of the famous turtle traders of the 80s. You can find Leslie's impressive resume at CFRN.net. While you're there, check out our blog each and every trading day for Leslie's take on what happened today and, more importantly, what to look for tomorrow. If you have a breaking financial story, call Leslie at 1-866-928-3310.